cord. All right. So we're gonna like I said, the central truth of Scripture is the Shema. We already discussed that. We already heard the Shema and had it translated. Hear, O Israel, Yehovah, our Elohim, Yehovah is one. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. I'm sorry, but that's not correct. It is correct, but it's not correct. Blessed be whose glorious kingdom is forever and ever, is what I should say. So, Father, we're here today to study your word. We ask that your spirit would be put really special on every person that comes into this room today, that the spirit of unity would be upheld, that the wicked spirits that are out there in each room would not be able to hear or see or understand or in any other way perceive the truth that's put out today, so that they can take that in some future date and twist it just a little bit, just get it just a little bit off, so that we end up not on the straight and narrow path, like he did, like he allowed Chava to get off the straight and narrow path. And he never actually lied to her, but he let her keep on believing the lie that she told, and that's that was a really, really wicked act on his part. And he built on it, asking questions to draw her further away. So, Father, we don't want that to happen to anybody that's in here today. We want your truth to be filed in our brains. We want your spirit to do that for us, Father. We know that he can do it, and we know that he has done it and will continue to do it. As long as we stay submitted to him, he will guide us in all truth. And so, Father, with that truth that we hear today that comes from whatever quarter it comes, the Spirit would take that and file it in our brains for our future use, because we're going to need it. In the not-too-distant future, we're going to need it. And we thank you, Father, for the answer to that prayer. Father, Di put up a prayer request today. She had gotten a job. Obviously, that isn't there anymore or something. She's looking to get back on her unemployment. The unemployment canceled her account for some reason, and we ask you, Father, that you would work through that for her so that she can have some money coming in. Also, Father, that her landlord would be able to find enough work so that she's able to work off her rent in the meanwhile. She's been faithful to you, and was a faithful and a wonderful fill-in for Rip while he was gone. And we praise you for her, Father. We praise you for her spirit and her willingness to learn and to put truth away so that she can use it later on. Father, she's a wonderful blessing to us, and we praise you for her. Patty, by grace, also put up a prayer request. His wife has got a stomach flu. Father, we'd ask that you would heal that even as we speak. You can do that right here, right now, and we ask that you would do it, Father. Just relieve her of that stomach condition. In the meanwhile, if that isn't how you want to do it, Father, that you would lead her to the proper natural medications, so that she doesn't have to deal with pharmaceutical garbage. Also, Patty has got. He has had some physical problems of his own, Father. I'd ask that you would heal those as well, right here, right now. We know that you can do it. It's by your stripes that we're healed. We know that. It's by your stripes that we are healed. We claim that for everybody here that has an illness or a sickness. We've been claiming that now for 6 weeks from my nephew, Joseph Miller, who had a basal ganglial stroke. That's in the center of his brain about 6 weeks ago, and or 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago. Anyway, we've been praying for him regularly, Father, and we're seeing the results of that. You are answering the prayers of the saints. He's a member at Grace Community Church in Los Angeles, California, and they have been incredibly supportive in every possible way that they can. Not only is that mega church praying for him, But the pastors, the lay ministers in the place have been at his side almost continually from the very beginning. And Father, we thank you that you are using your body, whether it is messianic or Christian or Jewish. Father, you are using your body to do what they're supposed to do, to hold each other up before you in prayer, and to come to your aid as we are able to come to their aid, those people that need it. For somebody that's 3,000 miles away, like my nephew Joseph, all I can do is pray, but all I can do is more than sufficient. More than sufficient, Father. We thank you for the answer to those prayers. He is up and about. He's talking. He's getting his cognition back. He's getting his motor skills back. He's walking under supervision from a physical therapist, although he spends most of his time in a wheelchair or in a bed. He's up and about, and I praise you, Father, for the answer to those prayers. Those thousands and thousands of believers who are out there lifting him up to you. Father, we bless you for it. And we bless everybody here that's praying also for Di and for Patty and for Rip. And thank you, Father, for him as well. He's been a faithful, faithful servant, not only to Fulfilling Torah, but also to Beit Yaakov and Hebraic Heritage Ministries before that for a number of years, 2 or 3 years before that, Father. He's been a faithful worker for Fulfilling Torah Ministries for the last 3+ years, 3.5 years almost. And I bless you for him, Father. I thank you so much for him. He has been a wonderful blessing to this ministry and to Eddie's ministry as well. And let me also hold up Eddie's ministry right now, Father, that you would just further that work as well. In Yeshua's name we ask it, and we bless you for the answer in Yeshua's name as well. Patty, I have a study starting on Wednesday next week. Prayers for that, please. I'm sorry, Patty, I didn't see that until just now. The group has grown to 14 peeps. Wonderful. Father, you're using Patty as well, whether on the internet or in his local studies, Father. We bless Patty as well in that he's able to lead those people and to keep them on the straight and narrow, which means Fulfilling Torah. Thank you for the shameless plug, Father. And we bless you for that as well. Okay, we're moving on to the study now, and you get to hear me drone on for another 15 or 20 minutes while I read the scripture and the notes on the Torah. We're going to be looking today at, like I said, Leviticus chapter 14, the whole chapter. And that's coming up on my computer. It's a little bit slow going today. Here it comes. Okay, we're in Leviticus chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. We're reading from the King James and changing the names to Hebraic names as we go. Okay. And Yehovah spake unto Moshe, saying, verse 2, this shall be the law of the leper. In the day of his cleansing, he shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take him that is to be cleansed, take for him that is to be cleansed, 2 birds alive, clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel, over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them, and the living bird, in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, and shave off all his hair, and wash himself in water, that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp, and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days, in the camp outside of his tent for 7 days. But it shall be on the 7th day that he shall shave all his hair off his head, and his beard, and his eyebrows, even all his hair he shall shave off, and shall wash his clothes. Also he shall wash his flesh in water, and he shall be clean. And on the eighth day he shall take two he lambs without blemish, and one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, and 3/10 deals of fine flour, a meat offering mingled with oil, and 1 log of oil. And the priest that maketh clean shall present the man that is to be made clean and those things before Jehovah at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall take 1 he lamb and offer him for a trespass offering, and the log of oil, and wave them, a wave offering before Jehovah. And he shall slay the lamb in the place where he shall kill the sin offering and the burnt offering in the holy place. For as the sin offering, the priest's, the trespass offering, it is most holy. And the priest shall take of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil, and pour into the palm of his own left hand, and the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand, and shall sprinkle of the oil with his finger 7 times before Jehovah. And of the rest of the oil that is in his hand shall the priest put upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the blood of the trespass offering. And the remnant of the oil in the priest's hands he shall pour upon the head of him that is to be cleansed, and the priest shall make an atonement for him before Jehovah. And the priest shall offer his sin offering, and make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed from his uncleanness, and afterward he shall kill the burnt offering. And the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the meat offering upon the altar, and the priest shall make an atonement for him, and he shall be clean. And if he be poor and cannot get so much, then he shall take 1 lamb for a trespass offering to be waved, to make an atonement for him, and 1/10 deal of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering, and a log of oil, and 2 turtle doves, or 2 young pigeons, such as he is able to get, and the one shall be a sin offering, and the other a burnt offering, and he shall bring them on the 8th day for his cleansing unto the priest, and unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before Jehovah. And the priest shall take the lamb of the trespass offering and the log of oil, and the priest shall wave them a wave offering before Jehovah. And he shall kill the lamb of the trespass offering, and the priest shall take of the blood of the trespass offering, and put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And the priest shall pour of the oil into the palm of his own left hand, and the priest shall sprinkle with his right finger some of the oil that is in his left hand 7 times before Jehovah. And the priest shall put of the oil that is in his hand upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the place of the blood of the trespass offering. And the rest of the oil that is in the priest's hand he shall pour upon the head of him that is to be cleansed, to make an atonement for him before Jehovah. And he shall offer the one of the turtle doves, or of the young pigeons, such as he can get, such as he is able to get, the one a sin offering, the other a burnt offering, with a meat offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed before Jehovah. This is the law of him in whom the plague of leprosy, whose hand is not able to get to his cleansing. And Jehovah spake unto Moshe and unto Aharon, saying, When ye be come into the land of Canaan, which I give to you for a possession, and I put the plague of leprosy in a house of the land of your possession, and he that owneth the house shall come and tell the priest, saying, It seemeth to me as it were a plague in the house. Then the priest shall command that they empty the house before the priest go to see the plague, that all that is in the house be not made unclean, and afterward the priest shall go in to see the house. And he shall look upon the plague, and behold, the plague in the walls of the house with hollow strakes, green and reddish, which in sight lower than the wall. Then the priest shall go out of the house to the door of the house, and shut up the house 7 days. And the priest shall come again the seventh day, and shall look. And behold, if the plague be spread in the walls of the house, then the priest shall command that they take away the stones in which the plague, and they shall cast them into an unclean place without the city. And he shall cause the house of the scraped to be scraped within round about, and they shall pour out the dust that they scrape off without the city into an unclean place. And they shall take their other stones and put in the place of those stones, and he shall take other mortar and shall plaster the house. And if the plague come again and break out in the house, after that he hath taken away the stones, and after that he hath scraped the house, and after it is plastered, then the priest shall come and look, and behold, the plague be spread in the house. It is a fretting leprosy in the house. It is unclean, and he shall break down the house, and the stones of it, and the timber thereof, and all the mortar of the house, and he shall carry them forth out of the city into an unclean place. Moreover, he that goeth into the house, all the while that it is shut up, shall be unclean until the even. And he that lieth in the house shall wash his clothes, and he that eateth in the house shall wash his clothes. And if the priest shall come in, and look, and behold, the plague hath not spread in the house, after the house was plastered, then the priest shall pronounce the house clean, because the plague is healed. And he shall take to cleanse the house two birds, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And he shall kill the one of the birds in an earthen vessel over running water. And he shall take the cedar wood, and the hyssop, and the scarlet, and the living bird, and dip them in the blood of the slain bird, and in the running water, and sprinkle the house seven times. And he shall cleanse the house with the blood of the bird, and with the running water, and with the living bird, and with the cedar wood, and with the hyssop, and with the scarlet. But he shall let go the living bird out of the city into the open fields, and make an atonement for the house, and it shall be clean. This, the law of the manner of plague, of leprosy, and scall, and for the leprosy of a garment, and of a house, and for a rising, and for a scab, and for a bright spot, to teach when unclean, and when clean. This is the law of leprosy. Wow. That was a long Torah passage. Let me wet my whistle, and then we'll get started on the notes. Okay. There was a procedure to follow to declare a metzorah, one with a leprosy, quote-unquote, clean. He shall be brought to the Kohen, it says in verse 1, or 2, implies that not just any Kohen would do. This must mean the Kohen Gadol, the high priest. Verse 3 says that the Kohen would go out of the camp to do the service. So the Metzorah must have been brought to the outskirts of the camp for the process to be undertaken. In this way, the Metzorah is brought to the Kohen, and the Kohen goes out to meet him. This reminds me of the prodigal son and his father. In Matthew, or in Luke rather, chapter 15, and verses 17 to 24, where it is written, "And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry." There was no question in the father's mind of accepting his son back into the family. He had been waiting for this day, and when it came, he didn't wait for his son to finish his script. But as soon as he knew that his son repented, humbled himself, and sought reconciliation, the reconciliation was accomplished. As this is applied to the whole people of Yehovah, the principle is, if I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts, if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Reconciliation is always Avinu's goal, for 2 Peter 3:9 says Yehovah is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Two birds are brought as atonement for the Metzorah, which to me is reminiscent of the two goats of atonement on the Day of Atonement. The one bird is killed by slitting its throat over an earthen vessel, or wrenching its throat, its neck off, in the earthen vessel filled with mayim chayim, living or running water. And the living bird, the scarlet thread, the cedar wood, and the hyssop are then dipped in the water mixed with blood, and the living bird, like the scapegoat, is set free outside the camp. According to the Chumash, and let me look this up here on, let's see, we're in chapter 15, and verse 3 or 4. I'm sorry, I got this marked in the other Chumash. I only just got these the other day and haven't had time to go through all of this. So let's look at 621 in the old book. So I'm not sure exactly what I'm looking for here. Ah, here we go. From arrogance to humility. And this is in non-verse. Okay, so here we go. From arrogance to humility. Atonement for sin requires that the erstwhile sinner purge himself of the moral flaw that caused his misdeeds. The underlying cause of slander and gossip, the sins that are punished by tzara'at, is haughtiness, because it breeds the contempt for others that lets one talk about them callously. The Metzorah's repentance entails a resolve to change himself, a change that is graphically symbolized by the following three items that accompany this offering. Cedar wood, because it grows tall, imposing and wide, the cedar symbolizes haughtiness. The crimson thread and hyssop. The thread is wool dyed with a pigment made from a lowly creature, a type of insect or snail whose identity is unclear. Thus, it symbolizes the penitent's newfound humility. Hyssop, a lowly bush, symbolizes the same idea of humility. Okay, so, the birds. Because this affliction came in punishment for the chatter of gossip or slander, his purification is affected by means of chirping, twittering birds. And that's interesting. Okay, so, cedarwood symbolizes the haughtiness of the Metzorah that enabled him to speak slander about another. And the scarlet thread and the hyssop each symbolize the humility it took to admit his sin and repent. When the water is sprinkled seven times on the Metzorah, did the Kohen use the hyssop to sprinkle the blood and water on the Metzorah? Or was it like the oil, where the Kohen dipped his finger in the oil and sprinkled it seven times toward the mercy seat? I don't know, and it doesn't tell us. The blood of the slaughtered bird being mixed with water reminds me of John chapter 19 and verse 34, where it says, "But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Did Yeshua's death not atone for our tzara'at? Was he not our atonement? Did his death not reconcile us to Avinu? If we are not clean of our defilement and infirmity because he was offered once, I'm sorry, are we not clean for our, of our defilement and infirmity because he was once for all offered for all of our sins? After the Metzorah washes his clothes and his body and shaves off all his hair, he is declared to be pure, but not entirely yet. He still is not allowed to live in his tent in the camp, though he may walk freely within the camp without telling anyone that he is unclean. But on the seventh day he shaves all his hair, including his eyebrows, washes his clothes and his body, and he shall be clean. Hallelujah! This accomplishes a complete reconciliation of the man who had gone completely after his lusts, been given over to them by Yehovah, and been excommunicated for his sins. This is the heart of Yehovah, and it should be our heart, to reconcile with our brothers and sisters in Messiah. On the eighth day of the cleansing and reconciliation of the former Metzorah, the sin and trespass offerings are made. There is mention of sin, chatat, offering, and trespass, asham, offering, in the same breath and in juxtaposition to each other. They are obviously different offerings in verse 13. The Chumash translates asham as guilt. Seems that when the scripture speaks of trespasses and sins, it's really referring to different, though related, things. Asham is the Hebrew 8:17 from the root 8:16, meaning to be guilty or perish. Chatat is from H2403, Hebrew 2403, an offense. From H2398, chata, meaning to miss. Asham looks to me as if like a sin unto death, and chata is a sin not unto death. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 16 and 17, it is written, "If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life, for them that sin not unto death." There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. I think both needed to be atoned for, but the one is much more serious, and is the one that results in tzara'at, being cut off from the people, excommunicated, as if dead. What did the prodigal father say? "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found," in Luke chapter 15 and verse 24. In verses 14 through 18, they are very reminiscent of the anointing of the Kohanim. The priest now takes some of the blood of the trespass offering, the one male lamb, on his, I infer, left thumb, and spreads some on the middle of the right ear, then the right thumb, and then the right big toe of the former Metzorah. Then the Kohen pours some of the log of oil into his left hand and dips his right thumb in the oil to rub it over the blood on the right ear, thumb, and big toe of the former Metzorah. This signifies, to my mind anyway, that the newly reconciled man will sanctify what he hears, what he does, and where he goes by the power of Yehovah's Spirit. The rabbis in Stone's Chumash on page 623 say that the former Metzorah vows to improve himself in mind, deed, and effort, as in forward movement. Great minds and all that. The Kohen then dips his pink finger into the oil and throws it toward the sanctuary 7 times before pouring the rest of the oil from his hand onto the former Metzorah's head, making atonement for him. The only difference between this service and the anointing of the priests is that there is no trespass offering for the priest. Sin and burnt offerings are for both the people and the priests. The sin offering is for inadvertent sin, while the trespass offering is for willful sin. The high priest could not sin willfully and retain his office. The second male and the ewe lambs are offered as sin and burnt offerings. There is nothing saying which is which, so I infer that either the male or the ewe was acceptable as either the sin or the burnt offering. If the Metzorah is poor and cannot afford three lambs, he may substitute two turtle doves and two pigeons for the second male and the ewe lambs. Atonement is not for only the rich. The poor are afforded the same opportunity to be reconciled. As Yehovah is no respecter of persons, but the trespass offering is always a male lamb and 1/10 ephah of fine flour mingled with oil as a grain portion of the offering. The sin and burnt offerings are identical for the poor and the rich, except for the animals offered. All the applications of blood and oil are identical. Everyone gets treated the same way. The poor doesn't have to get his hands on something that he can't afford. He can go with something that's much less expensive. In verses 33 to 57, the law of cleansing a tzara'at in a building or garment is pretty simple. In a garment, try to wash it out. If it washes out, quarantine it for a week to see if it comes back. If it does, burn the garment. If it doesn't, declare it clean. Same idea with a tzara'at in a building. Remove the affected stones and mortar, contacting those stones, and scrape them clean. If the tzara'at returns, tear down the house and dump it outside the camp. If not, wait another 7 days. If it doesn't return, the house is clean. The offerings are exactly like the second step of the Metzorah cleansing. Slaughter a bird over an earthen bowl with Mayim Chayim in it. Dip the live bird, scarlet thread, cedar wood, and hyssop in the water mixed with blood. Sprinkle the water, blood mixture, on the building and set the living bird free outside the camp. Declare the building clean. It's really that simple. And it's all very reminiscent of the atonement, the whole idea of the one bird that gets killed and his blood is placed on the second bird and that bird is set free. That is so reminiscent of the two goats for atonement at the Feast of Atonement that it boggles my mind. They all seem to be the same. I'm open to questions and comments on this whole Torah portion. That's the entire thing for us. Sonny Patty, you have your hand up, and you may take the mic. Take it away. Thank you, Patty. Yeah, very good comments. Appreciate your time and your study. That's really good stuff. Are there any other questions or comments dealing with the Torah portion for today, Leviticus chapter 14? Remember, the last in the text, I was noticing that people talking about the fact that there hasn't been a tzara'at in hundreds of years, and my own personal thinking is perhaps, as I put in the text, perhaps the world has gotten so wicked that Yehovah has just decided that the tzara'at is a useless endeavor. Everybody is unclean, and only then the people that are not unclean will eschew those people that are so filthy that they won't be defiled by them. Okay, they won't get close enough to it. Excommunicating ourselves from the general tzara'at of the world. Perhaps not. Anyway, Truth and Ken, you have your hand up and you may take the mic. Go for it, bro. Thank you, Ken. Appreciate all your comments. That's really good stuff. And Yaakov, you're up in just a second. Let me answer some of this that's in the text. Talking about using the shower as a mikveh. Technically, I suppose that's true because it is run. It's moving water, therefore it's living water. That makes some sense. I think that the idea is that you are, if the mikveh that Paul was talking about is correct, that you are lowered into the water, the running water, and then brought back out, signifying your death and resurrection. And I think that it's best if you do that in a river or in something where the water is actually moving on its own. Perhaps even in an ocean, that's possible, or a lake that has waved action. But I think that it would be best to do that in a flowing stream. I think that's where Yochanan the Immerser always baptized was in there, or always mikvahed was in a running stream, generally the Jordan. Anyway, I'll let that go, and Yaakov Israel, you have the mic. Take it away.
Led by the Spirit, they might be led by the Spirit. They might study this and have a love for Israel and a bunch of other things, but they may never have recognized how a house is like a body, although most of them probably have. So I just think what the Word does for us is it gives us that form for the Spirit to fill. And when we're reading through these things, the more we tune in and recognize what's going on, we could see the same Spirit that Jews would understand always, and then we wouldn't be lacking discernment and saying, well, the Spirit showed me this one. It's a bunch of nonsense. I yield the mic.
All right. Where are you? There you are. Thank you, Adam. Or, Yaakov, I appreciate that. There's some good stuff going on in the text, too. So, thanks very much, everybody that has taken part so far, Patty and Yaakov and Ken. Are there any other questions or comments on the Torah portion for today? Leviticus chapter 14, the cleansing of the leper and of the leprous building, or the cleansing of the metzorah. Whether a building or a person. If there is not, we shall move on. We're looking next at Melachim Bet, that is 2 Kings, chapter 7, verses 1 through 16, is what we're supposed to be looking at today. There are only 20 verses in the chapter, so I'm just going to have to read the whole chapter so you can see all of it. Let me do this first. I'm going to tell you the backstory to this particular chapter. And so it goes like this. The Syrians had besieged Samaria, and there was a general famine in the city that had gotten so bad that some women had entered an agreement to eat their babies. And as always happens in situations like this, they ate the first baby, but then, when they weren't so hungry, the second mother tried to renegotiate. So the first took her to the king, who, upon hearing the story, rent his clothes, revealing the sackcloth he was secretly wearing in mourning for the state of his nation. So the king went to Elisha and told him that he understood that this famine was from Jehovah, and asked the prophet what he should do. And that's where we are in chapter 7, 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 1. Then Elisha said, Hear you the word of Jehovah. Thus saith Jehovah, tomorrow, about this time, a measure of fine flour for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, in the gate of Samaria. Then a Lord, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God, and said, Behold, if Jehovah would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, Behold, thou shalt see with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. And there were four leprous men at the entering of the gate, and they said one to another, Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall into the hands of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. Same outcome, no matter what we do. So, verse 5, And they arose in the twilight, and go unto the camp of the Syrians, and when they were come to the utmost part of the camp of Syria, behold, no one there. For Jehovah had made the host of the, I'm sorry, Adonai had made the host of the Syrians to hear the noise of the chariots and a noise of horses, the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, and left their tents and their horses and their asses and even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when the lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent, and did eat and drink, and carried thence silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again, and entered into another tent, and carried thence also, and went and hid it. And they said one to another, We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry until the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now, therefore, come, that we may go and tell the king's household. So they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told them, saying, We came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied, and tents as they were. And they called the porters, and they told to the king's house therein. And the king arose in the night, and said unto his servants, I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we are hungry. Therefore are they gone out of the camp.